All right, shall we pray? Dear God, we pray that as we go into your word this morning, a word in season for each and every one of us. We thank you for the way you've been working with us since the beginning of the service. And even as we share from your word, speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name, that none of us will live here the same, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the Lord gave us a word for 2019, completing him, a call to spiritual maturity. There were two scriptures, for those of you that remember, that I shared at the crossover service. There were two scriptures, Colossians 2:10 and Ephesians 4:11 to 13. Colossians 2:10 says, "And you're complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Today I'm going to talk more from the passage in Ephesians. I'd like us to all read. We're all going to read Ephesians 4, 1 to 11. We're all going to read it. Ephesians 4, 1 to 11. Shall we? "I therefore, of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended from above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Praise the Lord. I want to draw 3 points from that passage. And for one of the title of this message is Maturity Through Ministry. Maturity Through Ministry. We're encouraging ourselves that in 2019, we want to move to a higher place in our relationship with God. We want to attain to the fullness of the measure of Christ, of what God expects of us, who he wants us to be. I think every time I speak now, I keep saying, I want to challenge us. And I'll keep saying it. We have to constantly challenge ourselves. 3 points just from this passage I think will help us in our walk in moving on to maturity, to a higher place in him. The first one is that we have to be purposeful in our Christian walk. So you have to be purposeful in your Christian walk. Some people will say intentional. You have to be determined in the way you walk, in the things you do, in how you live. I checked this passage in the Message, and it put it this way. It says, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And, you know, sometimes the way he said, I don't want any of you, you know, just on a path that goes nowhere. I always say this, there's a phrase that, you know, if you flow with the waves, you get to the beach. And every time I hear that phrase, I reverse it and I say that, you know what? If you're going with the waves, you can also end up in the middle of the ocean, depending on how the waves goes. As a Christian, are you purposeful in your walk? Some people are here, they've been born again for 50 years. Some people are here, they've been born again for 5 years, some 2 years. Do you take stock? Do you take stock? Since you've been, you know, running this race or walking this walk, what have you accomplished? Are you just doing it because, yeah, I've got to do it. I'm a Christian. Yes, I walk the Christian walk. I talk the Christian talk. I've been born again for, 25 years. What have I accomplished in those 25 years? Last year, what did I accomplish? How often do you take stock? Do you consider what you're doing? So in 2019, what are your plans as a Christian? What are you hoping to achieve? We always say, that, you know, during crossover service that, you know, when we come back in the next year, it will be all, and we say all sorts. But in the intervening period between January 2nd and December 30th, what happens? What plans do you have in place? Do you set yourself targets? I mean, in the Bible study on Wednesday, we're talking about daring to dream. What are your God-given dreams? What visions do you have? As a child of God, what are you doing? How are you running with those dreams? Are they written down? What challenges have you set yourself? What has God told you about you? And how are you running with it? It's interesting, we talked about Habakkuk on Wednesday. And how even God told him, he said, write down the vision. Write it down so that those who see it may run with it. What are you running with? So what's the word you're running with? And if you have a word you're already running with, do you reflect to ask yourself, where am I at? So 20 years ago, 10 years ago, God gave you a word. Do you take stock? Do you check? Where am I at? And if he's not giving you a word, are you seeking his face for a word? We can't run or walk aimlessly. We need to be purposeful in the way we walk, in the things we do. I lecture, and I see students in their final year, and I ask them, what do you want to do? And they say, I don't know. And I think to myself, you spent 3 years studying, and you have no clue what you want to do. And yet you see some children, 7, 8 year olds, they already have an idea of what they want to do. I was speaking to one of the fathers in the house recently, and I was like, what did he force his child? I use the word force, that, you know, did he impress on the child that, oh, you have to, I'm Nigerian. Nigerian parents have a way of, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. Nowadays, they've added footballer, because that's where the money is. So politics, that's where they're making the money. But, you know, traditionally it was doctor, engineer, lawyer. So I was saying to him, "Say, did you really impress on your child to go study this particular profession?" And he said, "All her choice, that right from when she was young, she had said that's what she's gonna do, and that's what she's doing right now. A dream, a vision, a goal, working towards it." Do we have goals? Do we have visions? Do we have targets? Do we take stock? Where are we? Praise the Lord. I wrote something. I said that it doesn't matter how you came to Christ. What matters is what you're doing since you've come to know Him. So it doesn't matter how you came to Christ. What matters is what you're doing since you've come to know Him. So since giving your life to Christ, what are you doing? During the week, I was reading a passage in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 13. We're not going to read it. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. There's a story there about two folks who, discovered something very precious. One of them was accidental, a chance discovery, walking in the field, saw some treasure. Now, it wasn't his field. He wasn't the owner of the field. But say you're passing by, you see this treasure, what do you do? The Bible says that guy went, once he saw the treasure, went and sold everything he had to get it. The second story, almost immediately, a jewel merchant looking for pearls, looking for the flawless pearl, found it. Once he saw it, what did he do? Sold everything. Both of them, same outcome. One was chance, the other was purposeful. So it's not about how you came to know Christ. But since you've come to know Him, since you've become aware of Him, what have you done? What are you doing? What are you doing? I said that they both gave everything they had to possess the great thing. One was treasure in the ground. The guy sold everything he had, bought the land, which would say it wasn't his in the first place. But he saw that there was some value in there, and he bought into it. The other individual was actually seeking. He was seeking for that value. And when he found it, he gave everything. You're a Christian. What are you giving? The second point is this, and it's something we all know. There's strength and safety in numbers. No doubt, Christianity is an individual race. We're all running individually. At the end of the day, God is going to hold each and every one of us accountable. I'm not going to be accountable for my wife, for what she's done. She's going to give account of everything she's done. I'm going to give account of everything I've done. But whilst we're still here, we are running a collective race. We're running an individual race, but we're running collectively because we have the same goal, to make the kingdom. Why am I saying this? No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how established you are, no man is an island. No man is an island. And if we thank God for the Sunday school, and I'll encourage everyone, we start the worship service at 10:30, but we start Sunday school at 10. Let's endeavor to be part of it. We said something in the Sunday school. We said that if the head of the church, as in, I'm not talking about Christ, I'm talking about the pastor God puts in place, if he's doing well and getting well endowed, he's getting well endowed and, richly blessed and everything, and the congregation are getting slimmer and slimmer, not because they're fasting or anything, there's an issue. There's an issue. I remember when I graduated and my first job, when I got my first job, I was earning more than some of my professors in the university. And that was why I decided not to go back into academia. One of them said, "You, this boy, why don't you come and do a master's?" And I looked at him and I smiled because I was earning way more than him. But the issue is, okay, that's just, by the way, amongst all my friends, I was one of the first to get a job. And I got a very good job. But a lot of my friends were still trying to get jobs. Now, it was a bit of a burden. Because I imagine when you're the only one. And all those around you are not quite there. Then imagine a situation where all of you are doing well. It sounds like I'm speaking in parables, right? Those that get what I'm saying, understand? The point is, we should be there for one another. But if you're the sole person, it's a lot of burden. Do you teach your brother how to fish, or do you give him fish constantly? If you're giving him fish constantly, hey, stress. If you teach him how to fish, he fishes for himself. Do we support one another? Verse 3 says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The message puts it this way. It says, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Thank you, Sister Rachel, for that prayer session. Pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Are we showing acts of love? I'm a Christian. I remember someone saying to me once that, you know, my Christianity is between me and God. That was in response to, why don't you go to church? That was the response. So, you know, it's between me and God. And I always, when I hear that phrase, it's between me and God, I think, what is God expecting of you? We talked about that last week. What does God expect from you? It's all good that we're lifting up holy hands on our own. Are we there for one another? Are we supporting each other? So that you're not the only one in the race. Be mindful of others. Be mindful of others. Again, last week I encouraged us that we need to be our brother's keepers. Pastor Isaac said something earlier. He was like, if you know, there's some things that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you about someone else. There's some things that he wouldn't. Remember the story of Elisha and the widow of Zarephath. That woman went to him. And, you know, when she came, his servant was, you know, trying to play a part. And Elisha said something. It was like that, you know, this woman was going through stuff and the Lord hid it from me. It's not everything that God will reveal to your pastor. So don't say, oh, your pastor or your ministers, they will know. They should know. They're men of God. They are men of God, but they're men. They're men, but they're men of God. They're children of God. So if the Lord has not revealed it to your ministers, and you don't say anything about it, and you don't share with your friends, who will know? No one. We should have people we can feel confident, you know, to talk to share with. I remember someone once saying that they don't feel loved in the church. I'm like, wow. If everybody is saying they don't feel loved in the church, there's a problem with our church. Do we agree? But if you as an individual, I mean, I look around this place, I know I'm loved. whether you like it or not, whether you say it or not, I know. And some people, their faces are there, you know, we use the word to say a boning. Don't bone. I know you love me. I know. Stop boning. Praise the Lord. We need to open up. We need to open up. Let's cultivate that friendship, that fellowship within the body of Christ. Is there any Liverpool fan in this? I said, is there any Liverpool fan? You know, Liverpool, it looks like they're going to win the league this year. See, some people have been praying. I don't think they've won since 1990 or something like that. Since the 90s, it's been so long. But it looks like it might be their time. With God, all things are possible. They still need to be praying. But you know, there's something about that football club. Their song. You never walk alone. How many of us know that? You never walk. Yes? It's but that phrase, you never walk alone. As a Christian, you shouldn't be walking alone. And you're not walking alone. That's the only thing. I don't want you to think about the rest of the lyrics. But just that phrase, you'll never walk alone. And truly, as a Christian, you'll never walk alone. Because you're not alone. We're spiritual people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is with me. But I'm not walking alone because I've got brothers, I've got sisters around me. I've got folks around me that I can reach out to at all points in time. And we all need to be there. You shouldn't be alone as a Christian. And your friends shouldn't just be the guys you're working with. Shouldn't just be the guys you're in school with. If they are, I hope they're Christians. You shouldn't walk alone. Excuse me. I mean, verses 4 to 6, again, I'll read it in the message. It says, you were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated in oneness. Oneness. Unity. Unity. Walking in unity. Being there for one another. Showing love to one another. How many times has someone you know needed something and you've gone out of your way to provide or to help? The third point, and this is the third point, so that you have a gift, take time to discover it and apply it. You have a gift, take time to discover it and apply it. You really want to, you know, you want to be mature in Christ. You want to, you know, be in a place of spiritual maturity, of being perfect in Him. God has invested something in you, whether you know it or not. If you don't know it, you need to find out what it is God has placed in you, what has invested in you. And if you know it, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with what God has given you? Say, take time to discover it. If you haven't discovered it, if you've discovered it, are you walking with it? Are you working with it? Are you applying it? Say that for some, it will be self-discovery. For others, those around you, and that's why I say, you know, build community of Christian friends. For others, those around you, your ministers, your pastors, your spiritual elders, might be the ones that will help you discover what that gift is. But you have a gift. Discover it and apply it. Build friendship networks of believers. Now, I said that we should make at least one friend. Now, I'm saying don't stop at one. All right? So when you make that first one, make another one. Yeah? You know, Proverbs 27, this is verse 17 that says that, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his brother. Who's sharpening you, and who are you sharpening? I gave a friend of mine a call yesterday. I haven't spoken to him. I think the last time I spoke to him was a year ago, and he's a friend of mine. And I called another one that I haven't spoken to in quite a few years. But you know what it is about these guys? Growing up, when we were in uni, we were real buddies. Sit down, read the scriptures together. Someone will come after drinking our gallium sulfate. If you don't know what that is, leave it to you. Yeah. You don't know what gallium sulfate is. All right. So, you know, we drink our gallium sulfate and someone will come and just say, oh, you know what? I read this verse yesterday, or I read this verse this morning. What do you think about it? And we start talking about it. And, you know, we were really sharpening each other. Oh, I've never really looked at that verse before. Does it make sense to you? And then we graduated from uni. As God will have it, three of us, we were posted to the same place to do our national service. And during national service, more of the same. I joke that my university days was like going to do an undergraduate degree in theology. And then my service year was like going to do a postgrad degree. But there was so much I gained in those years. I mean, I gave my life to Christ just before I went to uni. So it made a significant difference to me. Those friendships I still maintain. We still talk. We still share. Who are you sharing with? So you read the word. Something struck you. Who would you talk to about it? Are you sharing it with anyone? Who are you sharpening? Do you have a Christian body that you can share the word with, that you can pray with? Oh, something's happening. I need someone to just agree with me. Do you have anybody like that? Or do we just talk about... No, I'm not going to pick on football. I've said enough about... Or is it just... Is it Love Island, right? It's Love Island. So is it just Love Island we talk about, or Big Brother? Or do people still watch that? Okay. So is that what we share? Oh, can you imagine what happened yesterday on TV? How about can you imagine what I read yesterday in the Bible? So the purpose of your gift is not just to take you up there. We're talking about maturing spiritually. You have a gift. We're saying use it. But the purpose of your gift is not just to take you up there. Yes, Proverbs says that, you know, the gift of a man will make way for him and will cause him to stand before kings. Right? Proverbs 18:16. Your gift will make way for you, cause you to stand before kings. But why have we been given gifts? Jesus Christ, you know, we're told in the Ephesians 4 we read about ministry gifts. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For what purpose? For what purpose? It says, for the perfecting of the saints. It goes beyond you. For the work of the ministry. It goes beyond you. For edifying the body of Christ. It goes beyond you. Till when? It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Till all of us. So there shouldn't be some people in the church that are, you know, up there. And I'm using, when I use up there, you know what I mean, up there. There shouldn't be some people that are so spiritually established. And yes, there will be people like that. And then you have folks that are nowhere, that are just, the Bible says that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what James said. Are there people like that? Those that are more established, what are you doing to encourage those that are still struggling? What are you doing? God is doing awesome things with you. How is that beneficial to the body? Even though we're many, we're all one body in Christ. Thank God for Prince Philip. You know that old man? He's back driving. Prince Philip, yeah? You know he's back driving now. Apparently, the next day, they said they delivered a Land Rover, a new one. Obviously, I was like, it's for him. And they said they already saw him driving. And I thought to myself, at 90-something, 97, you had an accident. Your car flipped. I'll take a break. But thank God for him. He's back driving. But anyway, he's an interesting man. He's a very interesting man. Why did I bring up Prince Philip? I traveled a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing with some colleagues. And I said to myself that, you know what? Perhaps I'm not meant to meet the Queen. And why did I say this? When I was in primary school, I went to a primary school. I think a couple of years before I got to that primary school, the Queen came there. I left the primary school. The year after I left, she came again. Okay, as if that wasn't enough. I started working at DMU. The Queen was coming. I got an invite. I didn't see the invite until after she came and left. And I said, what kind of funny thing is this? But thank God I'm going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because that's the one that's most important. Even if I don't see Queen Elizabeth, I'm going to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you know, some people, and two people came to mind when I was thinking about this. I know of two pastors that have met the Queen. They were included in the honors list. One of them actually, he went to represent Nigeria when he went. Full-flowing Baban Riga, as they call it, looking very, very Nigerian. He's not too old. He's not an old man or anything. But what did this guy do? He's a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He started a charity. This old genotype, but helping people identify. The medics might know what I'm talking about, the old genotype thing, matching and all that. And that was what he was doing. He wasn't doing it to gain recognition. He did it because he had a passion for it. He was honored. Yes, his gift made way for him. But beyond that, he had impacted so many people's lives. There's another pastor, he's the zonal pastor for Amazing Grace Parish. he too was honored. What did he do? He found himself in a city and he thought, what can I do to make a difference? And he started engaging in the community, doing stuff. I think right now in Hull, if the police are going to make a decision, they consult him. He's become relevant in his society. How relevant are we? Is calling made way for him? Now, we'll stand before greatness. That's what the scripture says. That our gifts will make way for us and it will cause us to stand before kings and not ordinary men. But in getting there, what have we done with that gift? And to get there, that gift should be used to impact others. Shall we rise to our feet? Our challenge this year, 2019, is we want, you know, to move. You know, there's a song we used to sing back then that says, I'm going higher, yes, I am. Are we determined to go higher? To that place of spiritual maturity? Say, we need to be purposeful in our Christian walk. Are you purposeful in your walk with God? There's strength and safety in numbers. Who are your friends? Can two walk together if they don't agree? Who are you agreeing with? Who are you influencing? Who are you sharpening? Who is sharpening you? If you get a blunt iron and a sharp iron, and you start rubbing them together, they will sharpen each other. Who are you sharpening? Have you discovered you've got a gift? God has put something in you. What are you doing with what God has put in you? When I say maturity through ministry, it's through service. Ministry in the sense of service. How are you serving? You've been in the body of Christ for 5 years. What are you doing to serve God? What are you doing to serve your brethren? You joined the church 2 months ago. What are you doing to serve God? How are you serving Him? Are you waiting to be served? It's a challenge to us all. Let us find something to do for God. Let us get busy for God. Let us be clear what God, not aimlessly, let us be clear what God would have us do and get on with it. It's all well and good. You come every Sunday to church. You worship Him. Are you serving? Worship is service, but that is service to God. Or are you waiting to be served? No one is calling me. No one is reaching out to me. No one is talking to me. No one is encouraging me. How many people are you encouraging? How many people are you sowing a seed in their lives? Since you've come to know Him, what are you doing with that knowledge of Him? Proposing you are that 2019 will be a year with a difference. More than any year beforehand, it will be a year with a difference. a year in which you mature in your service, in your ministry. That you'll take the next step, the next level. Help us, O God, to be a living sanctuary, to be tried and tested. We cannot be tried and tested if we're not active. Help us to be active for you. Help us to engage with what you would have us do. Help us to be faithful in the calling with which you've called us. That none of us, oh God, will miss the mark. In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this new week. We thank you because we're expectant, oh God, that it will be an awesome week for each and every one of us. You meet us at every point of need in the mighty name of Jesus. Clear direction, oh God, that we'll seek your face at every point in time, what you would have us do, where you would have us go, who you would have us engage with, that will be totally dependent on you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. And shall we share the grace and fellowship?